Welcome to all of you out there. It's the boys from Rotosaurus. We are finally back, and we're bringing you the high-stakes seat. I am Jake Hallisker. You can find me at the Dust Mite on Twitter. Alongside me is the lately very offensively challenged, unless it's Jared Walsh, Dave McDonald. Dave, how you doing?
Yeah, that's accurate. Doing all right, man. Trying to remember how to do this. It's been almost like a month now, it feels like, since we've gotten on the pod.
I suppose I should say that's my bad. Dave, where can they find you on Twitter?
That would be at RunDMCD.
Add that D. Very good. Joining us today is our first repeat guest. And to us, he's not a guest. He's family.
Yep.
It is Tony DiVincenzo. Tony, how you doing, buddy?
Doing great. Thanks for having me back. First appearance couldn't have gone that bad if you're willing to take me on again. So
we're stuck with you. Dave and you are attached at the hip, the ear, the everything these days.
Ooh.
Because of
the
fact that you were in a fight to the finish.
We are in COVID. You're easy. Social distancing.
Yeah, well, it's making reference to your constant phone calls, probably.
We do our fabbing together every Sunday night. That's pretty much where we get our talking in.
I'm actually surprised. I thought you guys were closer than that.
I mean, we do text every day with you on our string for fantasy baseball related news, but anyways.
Okay. Well,
keep in touch just enough. I gotta keep my space every now and then.
Where can we find you on Twitter, Tony? Spell it the correct way, of course.
That is at Spectre, SPECTRE 14. Spelled the right way, of course. But
What are you rolling in followers these days? Like 120, 122?
Absolutely nothing.
Oh, he's got all that Browns talk going on. He's got lots.
the problem is that I talk so much Browns that everyone unfollows me once they realize that. It's like, oh, hey, this guy's Dave's partner. I'll follow him for some insight. And then on Sunday, I just start spamming my complaints and just
your
bitching about
Cleveland Browns kickers.
Yeah. So I think I'm at like 200 followers. Which
is like the third string linebackers that you're bitching about. Yeah, great.
Yeah. Everyone really wants that content.
So follow Tony on Twitter, please.
Come on, you know you want to be 201.
This is a great sales pitch. I will annoy the shit out of you with Browns talk. So just give me a follow.
We're gonna look at the latest news. This is it, man. We're at the end. We got one more week. We are recording late Saturday night. Technically, it's already Sunday. It's 5 after midnight here in Northeast Ohio. We're going to look at the news that you need to know heading into your final fab period. So I think this is the first show that we've done that's been like the day of releasing the day of fab. So
yeah, I mean, this is actually going to be relevant to fab. Like people will actually be able to listen to what we're saying and like it's actionable because of the timing.
Yeah, unless they were in daily leagues, but yeah.
Yeah. So if you're in my league, kindly ignore what I'm about to say today.
They don't have very much money left, so.
But neither do we.
No, I meant they, meaning you and Tony.
Oh, so. Yeah, but our opponents don't either, but they have enough.
Well, some of your opponents don't have any.
Like you?
I'm not your opposition.
No, but like you don't have any money left.
I was making reference to our good friend, Mr. Mazzotto.
Oh, Mr. Mazzotto. Yes, the mouth. Somehow his ass is still hanging around, though. I can't figure it out. When I was out of money last year for like 3 weeks, I plummeted. I had about 17 injuries. That dude has had nothing go wrong for him. And actually, he ended up keeping some guys that he probably wouldn't have otherwise, and they've helped him. Didn't Peterson just get like 10 Ks today?
10 Ks against the Braves?
Yeah.
In an instant bench situation?
Good Lord.
So we'll hit that latest news. We're going to take a look for you guys at what the playoff picture looks like because, I mean, a lot of teams are still in these things, but...
Yeah, it's definitely different than other years where other teams... It's usually a big divide between a bunch of, like, half the league that's relevant and the other half that's not. We're at pretty much 80 to 85% of the teams that are still relevant, I'd say. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it makes things a little bit easier. It's actually a lot easier to identify teams that and there's not as many of them. So
yeah, we're still playing
a little bit
something.
More of your players will be viable the last week.
Right.
So we'll give you some advice for approaching the last week and focusing on different categories and things like that, which you probably already should have been doing a little bit, but now
hopefully,
you really got to do it.
Yeah. Hopefully before now.
Right. And then we'll, like we mentioned already, we'll hit some fab targets for you guys towards the back end of the show. So let's jump into the news. We got a couple high impact players coming back.
Yeah.
One for Tony and Dave on their shared main event team for sure. Teoscar Hernandez for the Blue Jays.
Or as we like to call him, our entire offense.
Yeah, really. Except for Jared Walsh.
As our team hit 160 on the day. Jared Walsh, who replaced
Teoscar.
How
dare you besmirch his name?
I would never.
I actually picked up Teoscar in one of my mains. I overbid on him last week because I thought when the news was out that he was looking really good and he was already doing pretty much everything he needed to do to be back in a few days, people were going to bid on him. And I overspent by $40, which was almost all of my remaining money. But at least he hit a homer, so I got something.
You got some dividends out of it.
Hopefully he gives me a good last week because I spent way too much of my remaining fab on him, and now I have no money left, as you also referenced before.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
I just want to make sure everybody understood it was not me this time, but you.
But you know what? There is a silver lining with that.
Oh, yeah?
I don't have to do fab this weekend.
Oh, okay.
That's exciting.
So now when you're at your softball game, you can actually play softball.
That's right. I haven't played softball in 3 weeks because of Labor Day weekend, and then my games were rained out last week, which really sucks. So I'll be able to actually watch the game as it's going on.
Well, hopefully you don't need anybody.
So Teoscar's back in, like, the quickest recovery from an oblique strain.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And I can't talk, but, hey. So get him back in your lineups if you haven't already. If you're in a NFBC, you should have had him back in for the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
So hopefully he gives you a nice boost in your last week. Tommy Pham and Eric Hosmer came back for the pods. Both look like they're going to be playing pretty much every day the rest of the way.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much of an impact Pham is going to have because he was kind of sucking before
average,
he
average
got hurt.
Average is not looking too good.
But he does have some speed. And he has some power too, but...
All those steals came really early, and then he kind of stopped running for a while before
Issue with him is the hamate bone.
Right.
A lot of times when you suffer that injury, it's something where you lose that initial power before getting it back later in the season. And we're so deep in the season at this point, I don't know that he's going to be 100% in that department anyway.
Yeah. We saw with Jose Ramirez last year that it doesn't always work out that way, but more often than not.
I would probably leave him. I forget what his. I think they have only like two games in the first half, or their schedule was kind of bad. Yeah, they only have two games against the Angels in the first half of the week, anyways. So you're going to want to leave both of those guys on your bench for NFBCers for the first half of the week. But then you can probably get them back in the second half when they play three games against the Giants.
And we got a few guys returning next week. Somebody that screwed me over a couple times, Sonny Gray. I shouldn't have started him the second time, probably after he got beaten so bad in the first. But
I don't know. I mean, unless you know something's wrong with him, you got to go back to that well.
Yeah, he was so dominant before that.
We
don't know exactly when he's coming back, but he is trending to make a start next week.
I mean, go ahead, Tony.
They suggested that the optimal day would be Tuesday. So you're looking, if that happens, at least one start. If they goof around with their rotation a little bit, he could get a second, but odds are you're just going to get the one at most.
Well, if he's healthy, you always start a guy if it's a Tuesday because you never know what can happen.
Right.
Right.
They could need him. I mean, they're right in the thick of it, so they could need him to make that start to win. They might want him to get another start, like coming back to make sure he's good to go for the playoffs. It's a high risk start for sure. And that's assuming he even gets the start. They're saying he could be back, but we don't know for sure. But I don't know. Your options are going to be pretty limited if you're in a deep league. If you're in a shallower league, I'd probably would just stay away. You're probably gonna have some better options, but if you're in, the main event or whatever, you really probably got to play Sonny Gray.
Yeah. You need that.
Yeah, I mean, because if he's right, that's going to be two dominant starts from an ace. So,
mm-hmm. Also, we have Giovanni Gallegos looking like he's coming back for the Cardinals, and they need somebody to close. So,
yeah, they haven't really had a closer in the interim since he's been out, and it's kind of gone on under the radar. And I'm hoping it stays that way, because at this point, we're just trying to get whatever we can and saves to move up in the overall, but. We tried Andrew Miller. They decided not to go with him. They decided to go back to Helsley again.
It looked like it was going to be him.
Yeah.
They gave him two saves in a row, and then
it probably was going to be until we picked him up, and then they're like, nope.
yeah, they kept Helsley out there even though he was sucking. And,
I mean, Helsley today didn't even pitch in a safe situation, so I don't know.
Whatever. I mean, and it could be a committee again, but I think if you're in desperation mode at this point.
There's not a lot of options that are available for the
league. Yeah, we're talking about like 15 teamers here. There's not going to be much available. There's not in our league for sure. So I think Gallegos is worth a bid for this week.
Last one, who looked like there was a chance he'd be back this weekend, but
sounding like it, he is. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we only have one day left in the weekend.
Oh, this weekend. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think he was eligible today. Right. And then he didn't, obviously he wasn't in the lineup today. So that's John Bertie. Yeah.
Probably should have said that.
Yeah. Obviously, for teams who need steals, I think you – and the Marlins play, I think, 8 games next week. So right. It's he's coming back at a good time for you if you need him.
Yeah, there's a decent chance that he's available for you.
Yeah, he should be back by Monday at the latest if he's not back tomorrow.
He should be. He was playing in sim games already. So I think at this point he's ready to come back.
Yeah, Monday will probably be the latest. Jacob DeGrom disappointed a lot of fantasy owners by only pitching 2 very lackluster innings this past week. Due to injury, but through a side session today or yesterday, Saturday, and he is on track to face the Rays and the Nationals in a 2-step on Monday and Saturday, if all goes well. I mean, you have him, you're starting him. I need him in one of my mains. I'm very, very hopeful that everything goes off without a hitch because I need those starts. I need those wins. So get him back in your lineups next week. Mike Clevenger was scratched this past evening with bicep tightness. So anybody that had him in their lineup for this week got to take a nice fat 0 for that.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Supposedly he's going to pitch next week early, and the Padres only have 2 games the first half of the week, so that would be Tuesday. I mean, if you have him, you got to throw him because it's another situation where if – they need a start. I mean, they're fighting with the Dodgers for the division title. He could end up making a start on Sunday if they really need that. So
yeah,
you got to get him in there. And honestly, that would be fine because
I don't know the Padres. I mean, even if they're fighting, is there really a big advantage to winning the division this year? I think in getting one of the top 4 seeds, there's an advantage because you're at home throughout all mm-hmm. 3 games. But I think right now the Padres, like, there's 0 chance of them losing the 4th spot anyways.
Fair.
So I don't know that the Padres are really going to be going for it. I don't think they will.
It would line up that it would be okay if they – I mean, for them in terms of scheduling, just because they have a doubleheader on Friday, I believe. So they could use their normal rotation since they have 2 off days. They could start – I don't know who's lined up for them at the – those 2 starts. But – whoever it is, they could pitch both of them on Friday, pitch whoever's after that on Saturday, and then Clevenger could pitch on Sunday on normal rest. Everything would be fine because they got a lot of off days, Monday and Thursday.
I didn't think that was in – what, Tony?
Engler did suggest that was possible, that he does get a second start this week, but that it might be abbreviated. So it's possible that you're just getting ratios and you're not –
I mean, if you got him, you're starting him if he's healthy.
Yeah.
You have to play him.
There's enough teams with off days on Monday that you could hold out and have a replacement most likely in case he doesn't start on Tuesday.
I would be flat shocked if he got 2 full starts next week. I'll say that. But like you said,
that's fair.
If you got him, you're starting him.
There's a chance. Yeah. So it's Tuesday. We know how it goes with guys with Tuesdays. They could end up with a second start.
Yep.
We won't focus on this one for too long because it doesn't change very much, but
and because Dave already got yelled at for talking about it,
but we'll bring it up since it's fairly relevant since it just happened today. Justin Verlander announced I think he announced on Instagram, didn't he?
I have no idea.
That he is having Tommy John. So they said he was going to throw a sim game I think on Monday, and it turns out he's having TJS.
I don't know why they try to bring him back this year. It was always a fool's errand.
Yeah, and it didn't make a huge difference because whether he had the surgery a month ago or not, he was still going to miss all of next year.
That's
so
true.
I understand it to a point.
That makes sense, I guess.
So we'll be done with that. Nelson Cruz was scratched on Saturday with some knee soreness. I mean, he is a pretty old dude, and he does have some knee issues that he's dealt with in the past. They were calling it a maintenance day. At least the reports were calling it a maintenance day. I don't think the team officially said that, but
okay.
I don't assume that there's anything we have to worry about for the last week. It's only one week. We'll see if he plays on Sunday.
They only have two games in that first half week. Right. So yeah, he's probably going to be a guy you want to sit regardless of whether he's healthy or not. I know he's Nelson Cruz, but there's just so many teams with four games in the first half of the week. It's hard to play a guy with two games.
It is, but it depends on what you – I mean, if you need homers, you know, that
yeah, it pretty depends on what you have. I would be trying to upgrade if possible.
Let's see. Our last little bit of news. Zach Plesac had a truly dominant start with an immaculate inning on Friday night.
Yeah, that was
throwing
cool.
7 2/3, 11 Ks, a sub 1 whip, and no earned runs against the Tigers. Dave has a few things he wants to say about Plesac, don't you, Dave?
Yeah, well, so I put out a tweet earlier basically saying that I think that Plesac is going to end up being next year's Shane Bieber. I think they profile very similarly. They both are, you know, their fastball is nothing special, but they've got really good secondary offerings, great swing and miss stuff, elite command. I mean, Plesac, and he's a phenomenal athlete too. I expect him to keep growing and getting better. And if you look at his, and he's also kind of got a penchant for some home runs and stuff, kind of similar to Bieber, but where he keeps guys off base enough where it doesn't really hurt you. I think he's going to – I don't know where he's going to go next year, but wherever it is, I don't think he's going to be high enough. I think he's going to end up – like, I would flat out take him over Giolito without a second thought next year. So I know that's going to be a hot take or whatever, but, I mean, this was what I said about Bieber going into last year.
You're going to get labeled a homer, but
– I know. It's funny because it doesn't matter that they're on the Indians. They could be on the fucking Yankees, and I would still be saying this.
It matters. Yeah, right. But it matters they're on the Indians, but yeah.
Sure. But I'm saying, like, yeah, I'm not a homer at all. I'm just – this is just facts. I don't – you know, with my money, I don't play favorites. So
Tony, are you a homer too?
Oh, obviously. No, I mean, Plesac changes pitch mix so much. Like,
oh, yeah.
The fastball wasn't really working, and he cut it down a lot this year. He's throwing the off-speed stuff a lot more. And so you can see where the improvement's coming from. So, absolutely. I mean, and the thing is, yeah, you're called out for being a homer, but at the same time, you watch the game so often that you get to see this up close more so than the average person does. And so you truly get to see that growth come in this year. So, yeah, I'm on board too.
Yeah, I think it's pretty well known now. You know, the what the Indians' philosophy is.
Exactly. I mean, that's the other thing is it's not a fluke. These guys all have the same profile.
Right. They take these guys that are somewhat middling prospects, at least in most eyes, and they mold them. They get them to ditch that four seam, that average four seam at best, and highlight those secondaries and pitch backwards a little more. And
yeah, I mean, we saw with Kluber before Bieber.
Right.
They all profile so similarly.
And they got more coming down the pike, too.
Yeah, I like Savali a lot, too. I just think the Plesac's that guy who can be – like, I think the Plesac will end up not 2021, but in 2022, I think he'll be, like, a top 2-3-round pick. So, get him wherever you can next year, going into next year anyways.
Very interesting. I'm excited to see where he goes. I mean, there's so many things that are going to be up in the air after this shortened season.
For sure.
But Zach Plesac's performance this year definitely should but be it's raising also that, some eyebrows.
Yeah, he's young, he's healthy, and he's on the Indians, which means that the Indians push their starters. Like, they're not afraid to go over 100 pitches every outing. So those are the kind of workhorse starters that you want on your team.
Yeah, and the majority of their rotation is under 25.
It's crazy.
Or 25 or younger, I should
say.
Yeah,
now if only we could get some hitters, then we might actually be able to win something.
Yeah.
Maybe.
our 6-9 is abysmal.
Oh, God.
It feels like we have the Rangers.
But hey, we added Josh Naylor, so it's all good. We're going to win the World Series this year.
Yeah. Platoon bats.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh,
so all right. Speaking of the World
Dave,
Series,
talk to us about the playoff picture.
Yeah. Please. So I put out some tweets earlier this week about the playoff picture and what the fantasy implications of that are. So we know that the AL is pretty well set between the Rays, the White Sox, the A's, the Twins, the Yankees, the Astros, the Indians, and the Blue Jays. I guess that the Blue Jays and the Astros could potentially tank in the last week and lose their spot, but they would have to both have to tank pretty hard, and Seattle and LA would have to go on a hot streak to pass Houston and you know, Baltimore would have to go on a hot streak to pass Toronto. I don't see that happening, but it is possible. So I don't expect those teams to give up on trying to win until it's pretty clear that they've got those spots locked up. But in the NL, then we got, you know, Boston and Texas, who are pretty much straight out of it already. And then in the NL, it's a lot more wide open, though. You've got the Dodgers, the Cubs, the Braves, and the Padres, who are all entrenched in the playoffs. But then you've got the Marlins, the Reds, the Giants, and the Phillies, who are all currently set to make the playoffs. But it's still super close, where they could swap places at any moment with the Cardinals, the Brewers, the Mets, and the Rockies. So I expect all of those teams that are still competing for those last couple spots to kind of just go all out for wins there. And then you got the Nationals, the Diamondbacks, and the Pirates that are all but out of it at this point. So I would expect them to, you know, they're not really going for wins, but they're going to play their young guys and see what they got there. In most years, you know, teams who are out of the playoff picture might shut down their starting pitchers early, especially rookies and guys who haven't built up a lot of innings. But I expect this year to be different, with teams actually preferring to build up their innings because it was such an abbreviated season. You know, like going into next year, you're going to want them at as high of an innings count as possible, because if they're coming off of, you know, pitching 50 innings, and then they're not going to be able to go 150 next year. So I think we're not going to see many starters getting shut down here at the end of the season. You guys agree with that take? You think that's what teams are going to do?
It seems logical. I mean, some of these teams are probably even going to keep their pitchers throwing a little bit after the season.
I was thinking that too.
Yeah. I mean, this year has been just so funky, and these pitchers have had so much time off and away from their teams that they probably, especially the younger ones,
right,
they need to keep them around.
But they're theoretically still going to have a full season next year, so you have to keep building them up.
Yeah. I mean, they still need some downtime, but yeah, I mean, there's so much lost time and lost development. And
right.
Tony, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I think it's a situation where this season is just such a one-off that you have to try to get as close to normalized as possible, yeah, assuming that you're going to have a normal season next year, because regardless, you're not going to see – I mean, unless COVID ends up getting worse, the worst thing you're going to see next year is the same kind of format done, except over the full course of the season. So you should still expect to see the same amount of games. I don't know if they keep any of these funky rules that Manfred put in, but in the end, you're going to have to try to keep those innings counts up. So I think you're on point with that.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, at least that's what I would plan on. Whereas normally I would be looking for those guys who are going to get shut down early. I just don't think that's going to happen this year. And then we kind of mentioned earlier about two starts. So we got Giolito, Bieber, Berríos, and Gerrit Cole, who all have scheduled two starts next week, but I expect all of those guys to have their second start skipped or maybe abbreviated into like a 2-3 inning outing, something like that.
Now, there's probably going to be a couple extra games that have to be played. Or I haven't looked. Is the date of the start of the playoffs set in stone? Are they like the Wednesday?
I believe it's 3 days after the season ends.
So it's predetermined. Yeah. There's no fluctuation.
That is my understanding. Okay. So
yeah, that's usually how it is.
So these guys are all scheduled to have their two start on either that Saturday or Sunday, which would put them short of where they would be to start game one. So that's why I expect them all to have their two starts skipped. So guys like McCullers, Savale, and Lamet are kind of also at risk for that same treatment, although I'm not as concerned with them. You know, Savale will probably not be the Indians' number two. He's probably our number four, honestly, right now. But, you know, Lamet, I think a lot depends with Clevinger. Lamet could have his start skipped with Clevinger's injury now, because Lamet might be the guy they go to for that first start. McCullers, I'm assuming Greinke's going to get the first start. McCullers would probably be second guy, I would guess there. I mean, you got Framber.
Framber's been, I mean, durable and solid, and he's K-ing the world still.
Yeah, so I wouldn't be as concerned with – McCullers will probably still get a second start.
He's got more experience, though.
Yeah, he does. That's true, in playoffs and whatnot. But, yeah, so I would just keep an eye on that. Don't necessarily expect everybody to get two starts who's supposed to, but those are the guys that I would think would get their start skipped. And then, you know, a note on hitters. I don't have any data to back this up, just 25 years of experience playing fantasy baseball, but I have noticed teams that are still playing for something seem to hit better in the final week or two. I just remember every year whenever guys would go off, they were always on teams that were still competing for something. It wasn't just teams that were kind of waiting for the end of the season. So I would especially target hitters from the Marlins, Reds, Giants, Phillies, Cardinals, Brewers, Mets, Rockies, Astros, Mariners, and the Angels. And then to a lesser degree, I'd probably also target Indians, Twins, Yankees, and White Sox, because they're all kind of still fighting for something at this point. So, and then like the teams that I would kind of avoid the lesser bats from, not your studs, don't bench those guys, but you know, you're kind of the guys that you might stream for a week. On the A's, the Dodgers, the Cubs, and the Padres, especially those teams, because they don't really have as much that they're really fighting for right now, and they probably will take a day when they clinch. They'll probably get a day or two of rest this week, and I know that they're not doing the hangover day anymore because they're not allowed to drink champagne, but I still expect guys to get extra rest when they can before the playoffs start.
Yeah, and that could really hurt you in – an NFBC format where you just have a 3-day offensive window there.
Right. So yeah, you really want to target those teams that have all of the reason to keep putting in their best players because they need to win every game. A couple other teams lesser that I would avoid to a lesser degree would be the Rays and the Braves also. But you know, keep targeting the teams that are out of it to a certain degree because they should continue, you know, giving those young guys good everyday at bats too.
Very good. Take that, rewind it back, listen to it again, Luda. We're going to take a break for commercial. And welcome back. We're here with Dave as usual, and we also have Tony joining us, Tony DiVincenzo. Dave's going to talk to us a little bit more about the experience that we've developed dealing with these last few days of the season. We talked about, you know, he talked about a lot of specifics to this season. Now we're going to make this kind of a general strategy session. Dave, take it away.
Yeah, so I also put out a tweet earlier this week about how your roster should look more like the post-draft waiver wire than the actual team that you drafted by this time of the year. And I know it sounds weird, but it really should, because you know, I know a lot of guys just don't work out, or they get hurt along the way, whatever, something happens, and you drop them or get rid of them along the way. But you know, a lot of people hold on to guys too long because of their draft capital. But, you know, at a certain point, it's about production, not about, you know, what you're expecting. You know, you're expecting them to turn it around or whatever. But by now, you should have all kinds of guys littering your team that you would have never considered going into the season. You know, like we're rolling, you know, Jared Walsh right now. You know, he's a guy who was not even on our radar, you know, at going into the draft. So, you know, you need production now, and you need to do whatever you need to do to get those guys on your team. I don't care. I just dropped Luis Robert in one of my teams. He's not hitting well. He's got the Indians in the last week for 4 games. So I'm like, you know what? I'm really not going to – and I think he also gets like Yu Darvish. So I'm like, you know, he's really not going to help me much down the stretch, I don't think. So I know it feels weird to get rid of those guys, but it's the right move.
Yeah, and nobody else can pick them up anyway. So
right, yeah, it's not like they're going to hurt you. So, by the way, the Luis Robert, though, that's like an extreme example. That was in a pretty shallow league where I could afford to do that. If we're talking about the main event, I'm not dropping Luis Robert there. So you also want to take a look at the league and overall standings if you're playing NFBC, and you want to find the stats where you can move up the most. You also want to pay attention to the stats that you can move down the most if you start ignoring. So, you know, like if you need wins and your ratios are really good or they're really bad, then you can afford to punt ratios and just start as many two-start guys as possible to try to get those wins and whatever you need to do. But you really want to be looking at where you can gain most in the standings. You know, if you're already at the top of the standings in strikeouts like we are, you really don't have much to gain by getting extra strikeouts. You really just want to focus on – you don't really want to focus on two starts in that case. You want to focus on getting those good starts, you know, those Jaime Barria against the Rangers kind of starts. You know, you want to find those weak teams and those good spots to pick. You know, you got – Singer has some good starts left, and he had some good ones in the last week too. Bubik just had one today. Who did he play today?
It was the Brewers.
The Brewers, yeah.
Unearned run.
I put it out in a tweet maybe like a week ago, but, you know, you want to be looking at those splits, those weighted runs created plus splits for home and away team offenses, and then they're also their versus righties and versus lefties. So find where the teams struggle and then pick the right starters to attack them in those places. So yeah, you want to make sure you're streaming some good starters down the stretch. You don't want to risk your ratios at the end. You know, a lot of people just say YOLO and throw in some pitcher who's super high risk in a bad situation because they need a win or K's or whatever. But if you have a lot of downside to lose with your ratios, you don't want to do that. For hitters, you want to find guys. Sorry, what?
No, especially this year, because if you think about it, yeah, it's a 7-game season essentially, but that's 10% of the season.
Right.
And so normal year, you're talking about the back end where you can afford to throw your ratios, throw some caution to the wind there, but here you might be chasing those counting stats, and now suddenly your ratios move a ton more because you really don't have them built up with that many innings pitched. It's somewhere I think you have to be more cautious going into this final week than you would otherwise, just because those ratios are going to move a lot more than they would at the back end of any normal season. Oh,
yeah. One or two starts is making a big difference. I mean, I one of my main event leagues, I went up 8.5 points just yesterday. Those swings are going to happen this week in your league. You right. just have to make sure you're not on the wrong end of them.
Yeah.
This is something that when we started playing, we weren't as cognizant of, but man, now that we've been playing in these big high stakes leagues and there's so much on the line and there's so many good players that don't quit in September and they still have money left, unlike Dave.
Hey, not this year.
You have to look at those standings, every category. You have to know exactly where you are. You have to know how much you have to gain in certain categories, especially, well, not especially, but the ones like the K's that can fluctuate a ton if you just have a couple extra two starts. This year, everybody's so bunched together. You're rarely outside of competition to move up a couple points in most of your categories. So you have to know where you stand. I mean, you have to look at those standings and know where you stand. You have to be able to gain or to position your roster to move up as much as possible in that last week. And as Dave said, you have to fend off whoever's behind you.
Yeah.
You have to know what your opponents are able to do. And you can look at their rosters and you can see, oh, they only have one closer left.
Yeah,
make sure you don't have to worry that much about them passing me in saves when I'm up in by three on them.
That's good,
all their closers are gone.
That's a good comment. Yeah, you definitely want to be looking at your competition's rosters. Yeah,
if you're on NFBC, just pull up that roster grid from your league because you can see everybody on one page and what they have.
And you can actually look at it like real
time.
Right
before, yeah.
Yeah, like you can look at it right before lock and see exactly who's doing what because, you know, if there's a guy who you're competing with in both wins and saves and they've got like four closers and you don't know if they're going to roll 1, 2, 3, or 4, wait until like maybe 10, 15 minutes before lock. And check out their roster and see which direction they're going to go. Because then you can then formulate what you want to do based on what they're doing.
Look at that roster grid page, because even if they have 13 pitchers on their roster, the top 9 pitchers are what they have in their lineup at that
time. Yeah, the first
time.
9 that show up are the ones that are actively in their roster currently.
That is a very important tip in the NFBC.
It is. That's a good point. I forgot about mentioning that.
Yeah, I used that a lot
last year. Yeah.
Oh, especially last year.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely check into that.
And be cognizant that just because you're, you know, you think that you can't go down or whatever in a category, make sure that if you're taking out all your stolen base guys, you're not going to lose several points just because you're ahead by like three or four. And on the other end, make sure that whatever you're trying to move up in, it's actually feasible. Like if you're down by 5 saves and you have like 2 closers, you're probably not catching that guy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, let that go. But if you could be caught from behind,
if you got two guys behind you that are one behind you,
right, then you still have to leave your guys in. Yeah. But if you have if you're kind of in no man's land where there's guys who are like 5 saves behind you and then the guy ahead of you is 5 saves ahead of you, you could leave one closer in just to be safe. But if you need those starters in, put an extra starter or two in if you wherever you can move the most positively is what you need to do. But you need to be studying those standings to do that.
And honestly, if you're trying to move in hitting categories, again, you're talking about the season ends, you do whatever you need to do with your roster. You can drop all your excess pitchers and just keep flexibility.
Right.
Like you can reevaluate that situation in the middle of the week and say, hey, you know what? I benched all my steals guys. Now I realize I'm in danger there. I'm going to go ahead and put those guys back in.
Yeah, determine, you know, Sunday night before Fab, this is who I'm going to start pitching-wise. Jettison those couple pitchers you would have had on your bench normally.
I would only possibly keep one emergency
pitcher gets injured.
There's injury news. But you should never have more than 10 pitchers on your roster going into the final week because there's no – I mean, assuming you can, you know, make drops.
If you have guys like Clevinger that you don't know if they're going to start or not.
Yeah,
or
then whatever. You can have an extra one. Right. But the point is outside, you can't make changes to your pitchers midweek, but you can to your hitters, to Tony's point. So, you know, you want to give yourself flexibility because you never know who's going to get shut down, who's going to stop playing. This stuff happens every year in the final week. And that's why I love NFBC because you can make those midweek adjustments. Whereas like in Fantrax or whatever, with the weekly changes, you make your changes on Monday. You can't do anything midweek. So you want to give yourself several hitting options to put in for Friday. And, you know, you want to be looking at things like who's playing every day. You want to look at StatCast data to see who's hitting the ball well right now. You know, you want to look at hard contact, barrel rate from like the last maybe week or two. And you want to look at, you know, I put out the team hitting schedules. You want to look at those. You want to see who's playing teams that have really bad pitching on them. You know, you want to find those guys playing against the Tigers and the Diamondbacks and the Red Sox and stuff like that. You know, you want to make sure you have more games, both in number and also in quality. So you want to be as many games as possible that you can fit in with your hitters against bad pitching is good, but just the total number of games is also important because, like we were saying before, some teams only get two games in the first half of the week. Other teams have four. You don't want to be playing a two-gamer there. And then, as I was saying before, the teams that have something to play for often play harder, so you probably want to take note of that as well. And you can use my team schedule that's color-coded, that chart, to figure out which hitters have favorable and unfavorable schedules coming up in the final week. The teams that I would especially target there are the Nationals, the Royals, the Rockies, the Cardinals, the Braves, the Blue Jays, and the Brewers. And then to a lesser degree, I would also be targeting Indians, Orioles, Yankees, Astros, and Cubs. And then the teams that have bad schedules for the final week that I would avoid especially would be the Angels, the Padres, and the Twins, who I believe all have just two games. And then to a lesser degree, I would also avoid Dodgers, Rays, White Sox, Reds, and Tigers. And so then kind of looking at both the schedule, the good schedule teams, plus the teams with the motivation to play well, the best teams to target would be the Rockies, the Cardinals, and the Brewers. And the teams to avoid would be the Dodgers and the Padres. I know they both have some studs. I wouldn't necessarily be benching those guys, but the lesser bats are who I would be looking for replacements for. And then I think we mentioned it before, but there is the possibility that the Cardinals, who are vying for that final playoff spot in the NL, if it's up in the air and they don't, nobody's kind of locked down that spot yet, there's a possibility that the Cardinals end up playing the Tigers on Monday. So you could get an extra game out of those two teams. So you want to probably make sure you have some Tigers and Cardinals on your team so that you can put them in and get an extra game out of them if possible.
Very good. Tony, you got anything else to add on that?
No, I mean, really, it's like Dave's talking about it. You're just trying to make sure that you maximize your games. And so whether it's something where you're studying these schedules in advance, you're trying to stack as many hitters as you can just so you have options. Like I said, thinning your bench out, dumping the excess pitchers that you don't need, putting the extra bats on there just in case something happens that you're not expecting. Maybe someone has an injury. And second half of the week you want to have something else to play, like try to do as much research into these. And again, fortunately, Dave's done a lot of the research here, but try to do your research into these matchups to see how many guys you can really stack from these teams, just so that you're not left scrambling when you realize that, oh my gosh, these playoff teams are sitting guys, or, oh, I didn't look in advance on these matchups and I got a bunch of guys who I don't want to play. Like, keep yourself flexible. Try to give yourself as many options as possible, because again, the hitters are going to be what you can actually adjust going forward in this week, and you want to put yourself in a good position there.
This has been a year of us learning to avoid zeros.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, most of the time it's been due to COVID, but a lot of us have had to deal with the pain of having a guy in their lineup and have their games canceled, or and not have a replacement midweek to throw in. Ugh. I had the one main event where I had those I had so many Marlins.
And it always happens on Monday.
Yeah, and I had an entire 4 or 5 days of zeros from a couple spots. And
oh, yeah.
It's painful. And if anything, it should teach you to have the extra bats available. And this is a time where you can dump those extra pitchers, keep one or at the most two, and get those bats on your bench just so you can cycle them in.
Even if it's like a $1 bid guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, at bats are golden as long as it's not Billy Hamilton, you know?
Yeah. Guys who are actually playing, you know, Jake, okay. Anything, any other wisdom that you have to share from previous years?
No, I just wanted to add that little bit at the end, just to reiterate, okay. just make sure you're not going to end up taking a zero if somebody gets hurt.
You gotta
have something there. If at all possible.
And speaking of those $1 potential bids to help you out.
Yeah, we're going to finally give it again. We have a chance now to tell you a little bit about Fab before Fab happens. We don't normally record on a Saturday, so this is good. This will help some people in the last round of Fab. Not me, because I have no money left in the mains that I actually care about.
So. That's right. But who does have money left?
Somehow.
Dave has money left.
It's all Tony's fault. Dave finally has money because of Tony.
Hey, I'm a smart man. I'm willing to give up half of my winnings to make sure that I have money left at the end of the season. Because if I had done that years ago, I would have a lot more money.
That is one of my key jobs, is the financial management of the.
It is what you do.
We have money in the final week. It is a miracle. So.
You are the financial analyst of the group. That's for sure.
That is, by the way, Tony's job.
Yeah. Yes. He's good at that. At least he tells us he's good at that.
I mean, he's still employed, so I'm assuming. Yeah,
I haven't gotten canned yet.
So. A major corporation still gives him money to do a job, supposedly. Sonny Gray may have been dropped. We alluded to him earlier. He may have been dropped.
He was in our league.
He was in your main.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's poignant.
We won't be taking that risk, but –
It's out there, and it looks like he's going to get a start. We don't know what day. They put Michael Lorenzen in the rotation.
Yeah.
They have a lot of bodies there. They could take him out. They could –
Well, we kind of discussed what could happen with Sonny Gray. Got, so they've got a lot
Disco's
of options.
There. He's been pretty bad. So
yeah, Disco sucks.
Sonny Gray will likely get a start as long as he's healthy.
Right.
And it looks like – well, they have Milwaukee in the first half of the week, and then they are at the Twins in the second half.
Yeah, obviously you want that first
half. That's a little dicey.
But, you know, the Twins, honestly,
they're not very healthy. So.
The Twins haven't really been, I mean, other than Byron Buxton, who's on a tear lately, haven't really been hitting very well.
Tony, you're not allowed to talk. We're gonna gloss over.
Yeah, can we mute Tony for this part? So for those of you who don't know, Tony's obsessed with Byron Buxton and has been obsessed with him for like 8 years.
He's
more than Chris Liss, probably.
I drafted him in my keeper league when he was still in high school. So
he drafted Rendon when he was still at Rice. I mean, he loves taking those guys that won't sniff
the majors. He loves those injury prone guys.
Hey man, he wasn't injury prone back then.
Until he started running into walls at full speed. But yeah, then he just got hurt by tripping over his own feet in the outfield. And
yeah,
this is the most games he's played probably in a good while.
Tony and I will have extensive arguments over the offseason about how we're not and are taking Buxton next year. So.
All right, back to Fab. Okay. Dean Kramer for the Orioles. Now, they have a six-man rotation.
Yeah.
But he's performing right now.
He's pitching well.
Yeah.
He's a guy who I would have no problem rolling.
He's got the Red Sox. So yeah. That's another one that you don't
And the Red Sox without Verdugo and possibly without Arroyo, too.
Yeah. they're looking pretty bad. Jay Happ just demolished them today. I mean, their lineup is.
Is it Jay Happ or J.A. Happ?
J.A. Happ.
Okay.
Yeah, J.A. Happ. I didn't enunciate that well, I guess.
No, I was just curious. I didn't know.
Those are his. He happens to have the same initials as I, so he's okay. The only player in the bigs that has the same initials that I do.
J.A. Hellisker.
Good old Ja. Okay. You guys are picking up Dean, looking to pick up Dean Kramer this week if he's available for you?
He'll be on our list. So someone also dropped Max Fried in our league. So we have some interesting options, but we're definitely.
Do you have the money to afford that?
No, God, no. I mean, Duke's going to.
What do you have? Like,
Duke's
going to
throw down like a $20 bid on him and get him. We have seven.
$7.
Yeah. So we're not going to get him. We're going to bid on him, but I'm hoping to just get Kramer instead, because maybe guys won't go to $3
on
him.
Just curious, what is the money outlook in your league? Like, what's the somebody have a major hammer other than KJ Duke?
Tony, there's what, like three people who are maybe out of money completely, and then like several other people who are below us, and then like
there's a handful of people with some dollars left. I mean, it's all like high single digits, but yeah, they're essentially in the
so
same.
So it'll be very interesting to see where everybody allocates it. Because I would assume most people are looking to pick up multiple players. So that should be very interesting.
There's a couple of people who are at like 12, 14, 14, 15. There's one at 20, 21. And then there's a guy who has $60 left, but I don't think he's made moves in weeks. So I don't expect
something
him to
you guys
use
have
it.
To think about. You guys are in first. So any ties, you're going to lose them.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So that's a big deal.
Yeah. We talk for about an hour and a half before, of going over strategically how we want to spend our money every week. So, we're going to have to have that conversation.
You. I could never do that.
I know. That's why nobody partners with you. And how are your mains? How are your mains doing?
Two of them are in competition.
What does that mean in competition?
Top four.
Okay, that's good.
Vlad tweeted one of our league standings.
Yeah,
the top
I saw
five
that.
In our
that was
league.
Super
it's
close.
A lot of all industry dudes, and we all cannibalized each other, and it's all up for grabs. That's the league I said I gained 8.5 points on Friday. But
lost
then
them back
Vlad,
today.
Vlad gained some of them back today. So I think I'm still in second in that one. But yeah, I would really like to, no offense to Vlad, I'd really like to take that one.
Our league doesn't look close. Like, we're up by like 11 or 12, but that's a real recent development. I mean, like a week ago, we were, within like a point or so of first. I don't remember if we were in first or second or whatever, but it was really close like a week ago. We've really pulled away in the last week.
It's because like any kind of ratio just moves so quickly.
Yeah.
In a short
right.
Season like this.
Right.
That,
yeah. Our seven inning shutout start.
I our mean, pitching it, has moved us a lot in ERA and WHIP over the last week for sure.
Right. But that can easily go the other way if you're too careless with.
Absolutely can. Plans. We do still have a Matt Boyd start coming tomorrow.
Oh, my God.
So,
I forgot that. Oh, no. That's in the Vlad league, too.
All night.
What was that, Tony?
So Jake's not going to sleep well tonight.
Oh, my God. We got one good one this week.
Oh, yeah. But this is like asking for a miracle.
I still can't believe I ended up starting him. I told myself I wouldn't do it again, and then the two start was staring at me.
Yeah. We decided it was a go big or go home moment. We were like, he had several good starts, and then he had that one horrific start, last start. Well, two starts ago now. But we decided that we believed more in the prior success than the recent failure.
And
he
mixed the pitches up again. He's not throwing the slider as much.
Yeah. Oh God. That slider is not sliding.
It's very, very puzzling good it was last year.
What the
hell?
Now
it's just kind of gone.
Even at points this year, it's been great. And then it just disappears. And yeah. I'm like, what is happening?
His fastball velo is fluctuating.
Yeah.
The start earlier this week, it was hovering at like 90 and a half, which was
brutally it's
bad.
Another tempting start next week. It's against the Royals. So it's like, we gotta, have to start him.
Yeah. You guys have the cushion that you probably,
unless
should.
He gets annihilated tomorrow. I anticipate us starting him. And even if he does, it'll still be a discussion. So God, let's not even think about that.
So,
yeah. We can have that talk later.
Unbelievable. it's so nerve wracking. I totally forgot about that tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay. Another lefty with not as much velo, Brett Anderson, looks like he's got a two start for the Brewers. He's lined up for one against the Reds, whose offense has underperformed, to say the least.
Yep. Our boy Castellanos is also
and the Cardinals,
the Cardinals are probably just straight tired, honestly. Like, they've played how many
games
in the last several weeks? Like,
it's way more than most teams. they've been playing a lot of doubleheaders. Granted, they're seven innings, but you know, right. that's still a lot of time at the yard.
Yeah, Brett Anderson is not a guy that you're excited to start. And honestly, he's probably not much of a consideration for us because we're more looking to move up in ratios. Mm-hmm. We don't really need wins and Ks as much. But if
I don't know how many Ks Brett Anderson.
Well, that's true. That's fair.
But two starts, he might give you normal.
But you'll get one. Two starts. You'll get double the Ks. You might get four. So you
get four or five.
Yeah, exactly. So,
two innings of Matt Boyd and.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe less homers.
Yeah. With Brett Anderson, you're kind of just hoping to get a win out of two starts. You know, it's a volume play. I mean,
the Brewers offense is pitching decently. Perked up a little bit, so.
Yeah, he's pitching decently. They're not like bad matchups for him, so it's a shot to take for a couple bucks.
Mm-hmm. And it's out there in pretty much every league.
So. Yeah, I think he is.
Mm-hmm. So we got a couple reliever notes. We mentioned Giovanni Gallegos coming back. He might be available in your league, so take a look at that because the Cardinals closer situation is still a mess.
It hasn't been talked about at all. I think it's, like I said, I think it's flying under the radar. If you can get Gallegos, I think he probably goes back into closing.
I don't see why they wouldn't. I mean, Helsley looked so bad. He got the save the other day.
I mean, they could just keep it a committee, but I think it's worth if you're like, I'm desperate for saves. I don't need wins. Just, I would take the shot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ryan Sheriff got the the save for the Rays. Our never Rays philosophy. Yeah.
Hashtag team never again. Rays.
Nick Anderson owners, I'm sorry, but
we did try to warn you for what it's worth.
So you can take a stab at that. He might get another opportunity this week. Or is Oliver Drake coming back?
Drake's back. Yeah. He's not closing. Okay. He's pitching like the sixth. So Sheriff hasn't given up a run yet. He's pitching really, really well. I don't think there's a chance that he gets like all the saves for the Rays if they get like four saves this week.
You certainly won't bank on that.
No. He's just as likely to get one save, zero,
and
two.
He might pitch the fourth inning tomorrow.
Right. He could be the opener. Who knows? I just think like if you need to take a shot on a closer, he's like a $1 shot that you can take.
Yeah, and there's another one. He might be more than a dollar because he's not on the Rays, and it looks like that closer situation is in flux. There's Tommy Hunter got the save for the Phillies today instead of Hector Neris, which makes me very upset.
Tell us how you really feel.
I'm still referencing that same main event league because I just picked up Neris last week in that main event league, and I think I got two saves out of him last week, and I was patting myself on the back, and then he walked two guys on Friday while he got a save, and apparently Joe Girardi did not like that, so he gave Tommy Hunter the save the next day. Neris was available by all accounts, so I don't know what the heck's going on there. Here's another stab if you're desperate for saves, because I don't know what Joe Girardi's doing. I mean, the Phillies traded for Brandon Workman, who walks 5.5 batters per nine, and then they take the job from Neris. Every time he makes one little misstep, they take the job from him.
Yeah, it's just like Edwin Diaz.
I had so much Neris this year. I'm so bitter.
I know. It's my bad. I had him ranked high, man. I was like, there was nobody else in that bullpen going into the year. Zero competition. And he's a very skilled pitcher. But boy, if you're looking for a reason to take the job away from a guy, I guess you're gonna find it.
I mean, they took the job from him the first time when Gene Segura tripped over the pitcher's mound and gave up three runs. It's obvious that Joe Girardi's
not a fan.
Yeah. I mean, he's clearly looking for a reason to take the job from him. So now I have to debate whether or not I throw him next week. I probably have to, just because I think there's four. I'm tied with four other team or three other teams and saves in that league.
You can take a shot at one of these guys.
Yeah. Well, I have no money, so I can't.
Oh, that's right. You can't.
So I am you. Oh,
I forgot
once.
About that.
Yeah. Please bring that up again. Okay,
I'm going to try to work it in again.
Let's move over to the offensive side. We were going to talk about Christian Arroyo, and we still will, just because he was replacing Alex Verdugo in the leadoff spot for the Red Sox. It's not exactly a high-powered offense, but you do have –
Well, he was also playing every day, though. So
yeah, I mean, you have some good bats behind him if he's up there. But he did leave the game today with back spasms. We don't have any indication as to
– We don't know if he's going on the IL or not.
Still worth a look, because there's no word as to whether or not he's going on the IL, so keep your eyes on your screens and look for the news on that one.
Yeah. You know, he was hitting ninth with Verdugo in, but he was still playing every day, and he has had very good quality of contact recently. And he does have three homers in the last week and a half to 2 weeks, I believe. And they have three games against the Orioles crappy rotation in Fenway. And then they've got three games in Atlanta against their crappy rotation. So you know, he's not like a huge pickup, but he's a guy who's kind of underrated and could provide your team with a little bit of pop if he's healthy. So just keep an eye on whether he goes to the IL or not.
Mauricio Dubon, he's been playing every day for a while for the Giants, yep. But they're using a kind of a real makeshift lineup, but he's always in there. They've been doing a little platooning. I believe he hit six today. He's usually hitting at the bottom of that.
He always hits ninth, yeah, but today apparently they moved him
but
up.
But he's got some speed, not a lot of pop, but it's a steals play looking for that. And he's got a decent average too.
He's got a couple homers and a couple steals, and he's hitting .285. You know, it's not gonna be anything spectacular, but they do have four games against the Rockies in the first half of the week. I think that's where you'd probably slip them in if you need them. And then they play three games at home against San Diego, and I do not in the second half of the week, and I do not like that as much.
Yeah, keep in mind, I mean, you're not drafting these guys. These are pickups just for
now. These are
at least a half.
This
of
is
a week.
If you have a guy playing two games in the first half of the week, he plays four. So I would, and he plays every day. So it's a volume play. What, Tony?
So that's a counting stat play. Like in the end, you're not looking for massive production out of these guys. You're just looking for volume and good matchups.
Right. Exactly. Right.
Another middle infielder with a decent amount of games next week, Luis Garcia, for the Nats. A
lot of games.
Yeah, they have a lot of games they have to make up. So they got some doubleheaders. Another guy, not a super exciting profile, but it's a lot of volume and he's playing.
He's pretty similar to Dubon, actually. He hits sixth to eighth versus righties only, though. So if they're facing a lefty or two, you want to probably get him out. He's got a couple homers and one steal, and he's sitting .293 on the year. He has five games in the first half of the week. So, again, it's a volume play. He's got four against the Phillies and one against the Mets. That's where you want to play him in the first half of the week. In the second half of the week, he has three games at home against the Nets or the Mets, and I don't think I would be interested in that.
Yeah, I wouldn't play him against the Nets. Are they even playing? No, they're not even playing.
I have no idea.
Basketball?
Ask Basketball. Siege. I don't know.
Yeah, that team is long buried.
This is the least I've paid attention to the NBA in a long time. And it's, by all accounts, the NBA is great right now.
I've been hearing a lot of positive things about it, and I haven't watched anything.
I can't do it.
I'm just with baseball and football going on, it's too much. And the Cavs suck, so.
Josh Fuente has been a little hot for the Rockies.
Yeah, very hot.
Playing first every day for them right now. Kind of settled in the top of the back half of the lineup. But
like
yeah.
Sixth, seventh, yeah.
Another a power play if you need it.
Yeah, he's got a couple homers in the last 2 weeks. He's not really big homer guy. His barrel rate and his hard hit rate aren't really very good. But he's hitting .339 on the year, and the Rockies also have eight games next week. So the first half of the week, they've got four in San Fran, and San Fran with what they do, they closed off the wind tunnel, or you know, they've got a wind tunnel there or whatever now, right?
They rearranged some things. They brought the wall in a little bit. It's changed.
Basically, it's playing a lot more neutral slash. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's
definitely not the pitcher's park it was.
Right. Yeah. It's so basically playing four games in San Fran against that rotation is a good thing. And then the second half of the week is even better. He gets four games in Arizona, so against one of the worst rotations in baseball. So, you know, if you're not facing Gallen, that's pretty much it. And lately, shit, Gallen hasn't even been very good.
Yeah,
so.
There is a Gallen start in the latter half of next week.
Okay. But still, I think four games against the Diamondbacks and their crappy bullpen too. Fuentes is a good start if you need a first baseman.
Yeah, if they get Bumgarner,
look out. Oh, baby.
Austin Hayes came back for the Orioles, my other son.
People, you haven't really talked him up because of how bad he's been this year, but Jake was in love with Austin Hayes preseason.
Yeah, he was bad. He got hurt, which I kind of attributed a lot of his negative performance to because he had a slightly fractured rib, and yep. He was playing through it for a while. I don't even know how you'd swing a bat with a fractured rib, but he's back. He popped one homer. I know. I don't know. I just like the combo. He's playing every day. He's hitting eighth or ninth, but
seventh
he's
or ninth,
in there.
Yeah.
It's a decent park. It's at bats, and it's not a bad offense, and he's got some skills. He can run. So
yeah, he's another combo guy. He's a guy who's got a couple homers and a couple steals on the year. They've got three games in Fenway, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
And then they finish it off with three games in Toronto, which is pretty much like Coors Part 2 this year. So would be playing in Buffalo. So, yeah, I think Hayes is a decent play there.
We'll keep going with the outfielders. We got Jay Bruce for the Phillies.
Just came back?
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't remember him playing very much lately.
So. No, he literally just came back, I think, yesterday or the day before. He's hitting fifth or sixth. He's got six homers on the year. He's a straight power play. You know, he's shitty average, no speed. But in the first half of next week, they get four games in Washington against their crappy pitching staff. So I think if you're looking for a half week of power, Bruce might be a decent option there.
And the Phillies were playing Hazley. They did just call or bring Mickey Moniak up from the alternative site, so they're playing him too. Roman Quinn's kind of entrenched in that lineup.
I need to see tomorrow if they start him, because they've started Bruce two games in a row. If they start him three games in a row, I'm going to feel better about him as a start for the second half of next week. But it's not someone I'd like to target. He's a guy that's
platooned
right
rather easily. So
right, yeah, and then they've got three games against the Rays in the second half of the week. I'm not interested in that.
So that one might be just a hair lower. Just watch next week or tomorrow to see, or today,
if he starts listening on Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday. More outfielders. Harrison Bader, another guy that's playing every day, often at the bottom of the Cardinals lineup, but they're going to have a decent amount of games. And he's playing, and he's got some pop. He's got some speed. You never know. If you need those counting stats, he could provide it for you.
Yeah, he's hitting eighth or ninth. Every day, and he's actually had really good quality of contact, and he's got three homers and two steals on the year. He's got three games against KC and one game against Milwaukee in the first half of the week, so he's got four games, which is certainly an advantage. And then he's got another four games against Milwaukee on the weekend, and you know, the Cardinals, and then potentially he could play again on Monday if the Cardinals need to play that game on Monday against the Tigers. So he could have nine games. So, I kind of like Bader. And again, that's the team that they have something to play for. So, I don't imagine you'd have to spend more than a buck or two to get him, and might pay off.
And that's one of those cards guys that could give you that extra game. So that are on Monday of the following week, if they have to play again. So that's another thing to consider as well. So there's a lot of potential ABs there. Nico Horner's been playing not every day for the Cubs, a decent amount. Another guy that could give you a little bit of speed. He's always at the bottom of the lineup though, but he's got good flexibility, so you can put him in your corner spot, your middle spot.
Yeah, I think he's second, third, and short.
Yep.
And he started six of the last eight games. He hits ninth, but he does have three steals on the year. And like Jake said, he's more of a speed play. Not great in average, not a lot of pop. But they do play in the first half of the week four games in Pittsburgh against that shitty staff. So I like that a lot. And then the second half of the week, they got three games against the White Sox. I don't like that as much.
Dan Vogelbach has finally found a home that he likes, apparently. He's rejuvenated that.
Home of the Brewers.
Absolutely horrible Brewers offense.
He likes beer.
They're hitting a lot better. Yes, maybe that's it. There's not a whole lot else to do in the clubhouse after the game when they all have to sit apart from each other.
Yeah.
But he's hitting right in the middle. He came in.
Yeah, he hits fourth, fifth.
Right
in
the middle of that Brewers lineup. Yep. He's hitting better than he has pretty much since the first half of 2019.
What was that, Tony?
He's playing every day versus righties. So.
Yep, he's playing every day versus righties. So I think the second half of the actually I forget, but one of the halves of the week, I think he plays against all righties. But I don't think the Cardinals have their whole rotation figured out. But, he's got three games in Cincy and then one in St. Louis for the first half of the week. So that's four games. And then he's got
Cincy's all righties, right, at the moment?
I think
there's
so.
There's no Miley, so
yeah.
They're all righties.
Yeah, I think they're all righties. So that should be good. And then the second half of the week, he's in St. Louis. I think he's got one or two lefties maybe there. I know Kim he'll have to face at some point in there, but I don't remember if they have another lefty or not.
Kim started today, so that would probably be Friday.
Okay. But, yeah, so Vogelbach is a guy you can put in for some pop. He's a power play. He's kind of like Jay Bruce, but I feel a little bit better about him starting pretty much every game against righties. And he does hit fourth or fifth, which is definitely preferable to a lot of these guys that hit seventh to ninth. So.
One of the biggest enigmas in fantasy, the Rays Nate Lowe saga. He is back.
And he's playing every day. Every day. They're not just playing him like 4 out of 5 games or 3 out of 4 or whatever. It's actually every day.
This might be one of those times where you can abandon the never raise philosophy.
Yeah.
Because he's right. As Dave said, he's right in the middle of that lineup.
Yeah, he's 4, 5, 6. Yep.
Yep.
Yep. He's not platooning.
No platoon because he started against.
Yep.
He started against one right or left-hander this week. They did bump him down to 6th, but
he's hitting the ball really well too. Good quality of contact. 3 homers in the last 2 weeks. Like we said, he's playing every day. They got 3 games against the Mets in the first half of the week. That's okay. But then in the second half of the week, they got 3 games against the Phillies, which is a little bit better. But Lowe is kind of one of those guys that I feel like right now, given his talent and given the fact that he's playing every day and he's hitting well right now, he's probably a guy that I would just play regardless of schedule, as long as he's not a 2-game section here. And he's got 3 games. So if you can get Lowe, he'll probably be more expensive than most of these guys, but if you can get him, play him.
Tony, do you want to get Lowe?
I mean, I don't know what we can afford with our budget, but sure, why not?
You're pretty old. Can you get Lowe?
I cannot get Lowe, dude.
I don't think so.
I don't have the
David. You're gonna pop a hammy if you try to get Lowe?
Yeah, no, it's I don't have the Dave McDonald back, but I don't have a great one either. the hammies are not strong to begin with, so I don't think I need to be doing that.
I think I'm probably still more mobile than you, though.
I don't know, man. I haven't seen you anything physically active in a while. Granted, that's probably because I haven't seen you outside of my office.
But nobody sees you other than your wife and children. What are you talking about?
And my students. But I only see half of their faces because they have masks on. Yeah, we didn't talk about why I haven't podcasted in like 3 weeks with you guys.
Yeah, why haven't you podcasted in like 3 days?
Well, let's finish our fab and then we can wax poetic about the wonders of teaching in a hybrid learning
environment. Maybe we should save that for after the podcast, actually, now I'm thinking about it. As thrilling as that's going
to
be.
We only have one more fab target.
People are already starting to fast forward right now.
We got Edwin Rios. Just
close it out. We're good.
Edwin Rios. Edwin Rios.
Edwin Rios, yeah. Probably outside of Lowe, the most exciting name on this list in terms of talent. He's also hitting the ball really well, good quality of contact right now. He's got 2 homers in the last 2 weeks, which isn't a lot, but he also wasn't playing a lot recently. But he started the 5 out of the last 6 games. He's starting at third base. When Turner came back, they just made Turner the everyday DH now because they don't want him.
Yeah, and that's with Turner in the lineup. He's still playing.
Yeah, so he's playing every day with Turner in the lineup, at least, you know, most 5 out of 6 games. Yep. So that's
now about as good as he's hitting at the bottom, so he's not like your Nate Lowe.
He's hitting 7-9. He does have 5 homers on the year despite his limited playing time. So pretty good. But the Dodgers, as I said earlier, are kind of dual issues, is that they only play 3 games against Oakland's good rotation in the first half of the week. That's not great. And then they play 3 games only in the weekend. But the Angels are a solid team to target because they're not very good. But the problem is that I expect the Dodgers to rest guys, but at the same time, I feel like Rios probably isn't one of those guys that they're going to want to rest. Should
play.
I think they're going to let him play.
Right.
I like Rios. I think there's some upside there if you need some power, and he won't tank your average either. I think he's sitting over 300 right now. So.
Yeah, and one of those, even though Rios is left-handed, one of those games he started was against a lefty.
I think he's starting against lefties.
And I believe the Angels would have Andrew Heaney because he also started on Saturday. So.
Okay.
Did you say they're facing the Angels last? Right?
Yeah. The second half of the week.
There's at least one lefty in there.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's Tony, anybody else that you were targeting in Fab this week?
I didn't want to ask him. I was done. I was done.
I'm good.
I don't want to. Good. Fair enough. You are done. You're muted.
All right. Well, now I wanted to get to a couple of thank yous because had some nice interaction this week. Michael Simeone, as you guys know, SP streamer, gave me very nice shout out on Twitter, and he also had a recent tweet about self-evaluating, you know, your strengths and weaknesses in a season, and he gave me credit for helping him realize, you know, with in terms of injuries. He needs to take, you know, injury prone pitchers more into account and, you know, current injuries and all that stuff. It's really great to see that growth in him. Everybody should do this. I try to do this every year. I look at what I got wrong. You look at some of the things you got right too, but that doesn't really help you grow. What helps you grow is you figuring out what you got wrong and then, you know, improving on it for the next year and saying, okay, I'm not going to make this mistake again. I see too many people who are just you know, they're so entrenched in their views and they're unwavering and stubborn, and that's not going to help you become a better player. You know, I get that pride's a thing, but it's okay to say I was wrong, but then also look at the reasons why you were wrong. So, you know, I really liked Mike's thread, and I encourage you guys all to check it out. That's at SP Streamer. I also retweeted it too, so you can check it out on mine as well. But and then our friend and professional graphics designer, Matt Krisiak, also did Mike's new SP Streamer logo, because he just debuted that this week. So,
right. Who also did both of our logos, obviously.
Yeah, he did our Rotosaurus logo and our High Stakes Heat logo. Tony, did you get a chance to look at SP Streamer's new logo?
Yeah, I took a look at it. It looks sharp.
Yeah, looks really sharp. And, you know, it's kind of simple, but that's what Mike wanted. Mm-hmm. And it looks real just streamlined. And I love the font with it, too. And then... you know, when Mike was giving me the shout out, Curlin came on and said, meh. So I was like, all right, well, thanks, Curlin. Meh to you too. Love you, buddy. And then James Anderson also wanted to give him a shout out on the RotoWire Prospect Pod. Gave High Stakes Heat a shout out, despite the fact that we hadn't put out anything in 3 weeks. So really appreciate all of James's support. He's been vocal on Twitter about us before and how we're one of his favorite pods he listens to. So really appreciate that. And he also answered a question about some Indians prospects for me. We talked a little bit about our excitement for Tyler Freeman, which I share. And he talked a little bit about Tanner Burns as well, recent yeah. Indians draft pick, who I didn't know a whole lot about. I read up on him at the time, but, you know, he sounds very much like...
Looks like another one of another, our guys.
He looks yeah. like another future Plesac, Bieber, Savale kind of prospect. So.
I'm pretty sure I remember him being very high on the pick when the draft happened as well.
Okay.
That stood out to me.
Yeah, yeah, that's good.
We also wanted to give a shout-out to our boy Rob DiPietro, the Deadpool hitter.
Yeah.
He charged up the... NFBC draft champions awesome. Overall standings. He's been seated in the top spot for, I think, the last 3 days now.
Get it, Rob. Get it, baby. Really, bring it home.
Really, really nice day today, Saturday. And he's got a nice wide lead. We're hoping that he holds it. He's got a very, very strong team. And he also hit on a couple. He went the speculative closer route in a DC, which was a gamble.
Boy. Wow.
And it worked out big time for him.
Wow.
He ended up with Presley and Barnes, and they've been killing it.
Oh, so, man, that is
that's what's led.
That's
his charge
lucky,
up.
But hey, sometimes you need a little bit of that.
Yep. And I mean, a 15 teamer, you're gonna have a hole.
Yeah, boy, that would not be where I'd want to hold.
Yeah,
but
it's hard to let that go. But results, he did it, and it worked. He picked two good situations for it.
What was that, Tony?
I said, if it works out, it's great, because you think about the return you get on those late round closers.
Oh, I mean, yeah,
that's fantastic.
Right. It's not like Presley was going as high as he was in the year prior when he had all the hype.
I mean, to be fair, he probably drafted Presley for ratios, not for saves, because I don't think anybody saw mm-hmm. Osuna coming. But I think that certainly Barnes was a good play, because you knew that Workman was likely to get traded because the Red Sox were going to suck and they had no reason to keep him. So
now this is a very late DC. I think it was one of the latest ones. Okay. So there may have been some inclination about Osuna before that, because he was having some.
It's possible. Yeah. Yeah. I think Presley was hurt at the time as well, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, he was. Okay. So that concludes our thanks and our shout outs. Bring it home, Rob. We believe in you.
Yeah, dude.
Get that 30K, bro. Check out rotosaurus.com. You know, there's not as much stuff going on here at the end of the year.
But we've
been rather lax.
It looks really nice.
Yeah, we've got a nice logo, but we have not been keeping up as much. What was that, Tony?
I said, come look at the pretty logo and then just find somewhere else to read.
Yeah, like I said, teaching has been awful. I mean, I love teaching. Starting this school year was by far the most work I've ever had to do before a school year. And we're in a combined learning environment. It's not even a hybrid. So there's kids in school. There's 75% of the kids in school all the time and 25% online all the time. And it is hard to manage. It's been really hard. And I started at a new school this year to top it off. So this has been more work than even the first day that I ever taught I mean, this has been more work. It's been hard. It's going okay now, but starting up was bad. So I do want to apologize for my lack of updates for the website. The fact that we have not podcasted in probably 3 weeks, that's on me. It's been a really rough time for me.
But feel free to blame me. I'm used to it. It's fine.
Well, Dave's already blamed me online. So
that wasn't a DM.
It was a DM. Oh my gosh. Saw it. Okay. You're right. That was a DM, except for Ryan Bloomfield.
Okay. Yes. Ryan knew I blamed you.
All right. Thanks so much for supporting us early on. Please listen or please subscribe and give us a review on whatever platform
and or rating.
We haven't had many reviews just because possibly we haven't recorded very much lately. we want to thank Tony for joining us again. Tony, we love having you on. You're one of our best friends. You're one of our favorite person to troll. Yeah, I wanted to say it nicely. So
my favorite person.
We like making fun of you.
Thanks, dude. I love
this. This just took a turn. What is happening?
Well, it's been fun being on my Last Word of Source podcast. So.
Tony, where can we find you on Twitter if we want Browns news?
If you want really bad complaining about the Browns on Sundays, it's at Spectre, S-P-E-C-T-R-E 14.
Spelled the right way.
Sorry,
and Dave, where can we find you?
At Run D McD.
Add that D. And I'm at the Dust Mite. Thank you so much for listening to the High Stakes Heat podcast. We will hopefully talk to you in a reasonable amount
of time.
Yeah,
I'm going to try to make sure that we get back to you guys within the next month. yeah.
At the very least, we will review.
We definitely will be doing a season review where we talk about what we got right and more what we got wrong and how we're going to fix that moving forward.
All right. Bring it home this week.
And everybody, we're going to have Ryan on at some point too, because that was why we were talking to him. Like, hey, I know we told you we were going to have you on 3 weeks ago, but
my bad. See ya.
Later.